o'clock hour here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Thanks for being a total. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Bell back together again. Peyton, you were supposed to play a final call of the Stanley Cup being won by Florida to make us feel better about ourselves for our current guest, the color analyst, who's shaking his head on the fan cam, Twitch, and Zoom. He was so great last time, we had to bring him back. Bob Stauffer joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good. You have to suck the life out of me, eh? On free agency day, I got about a six-hour shift coming up on the air. So, coaching's an important thing. And it's ironic you got a guy from Edmonton on, because one of the greatest coaches in the history of your state, Darrell K. Royal, before he even went to Mississippi State or Washington, coached the Edmonton Eskimos in 1953. So there's your useless, superfluous information before he ended up becoming the legend that he was. Like, the stadium's named after him in Austin, isn't it? So there you go.
Bob, how is Edmonton dealing with this cup loss versus the last one?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now that you had me on before the morning of game number four of the series, and there was an incident in that game that changed the complexion of what happened with Edmonton, and that's Mason Marchment ran into Zach Hyman and broke, dislocated Zach's wrist. There was some other damage in the hand, and it knocked him out of the playoffs the rest of the way, and Edmonton was never the same team after. And people say, come on, Bob, you got McDavid, you got Drysdale. Well, of the active players in the National Hockey League, Zach Hyman has the most goals in a single playoffs. He had 16 a year ago.
Wow.
And against Florida, with how they play that, you know, that high-pressure physical game, Hyman being out of the Oilers lineup, for Edmonton to have, there's no question Florida was the better team in the finals in six games. But Edmonton needed Hyman, and that was a huge loss. The series was not as close as it was the year before. Florida deserved to win. And I think because Florida deserved to win, it's less emotional for Oilers fans. Like, it was a real hard loss a year ago.
Yeah.
Edmonton, almost pulled off something that hadn't happened since the 1940s. And so I think the fans here were pragmatic about it. They're like, you know, the Oilers have won 9 playoff series in the last 4 years. There's organizations in the league that have been around for 50 plus years that have never done that. So, but that's not why you have me on. You have me on because partially what happened with Dallas. And I remember being in Dallas for game 5, the morning of, and Peter DeBoer made a comment about the players can't, or the coaches can't put the puck in the nets for the players. And I talked to some people in our organization that day. And I said, if the Oilers win tonight in 5, I wonder if Dallas is going to have to make a coaching change. And ultimately they did. So I think that's why you got me on today.
So you thought that was one of the comments. We were focusing obviously on the Ottinger stuff, but when he said, we're not that type of team to respond after what happened at the AAC.
Yeah. Basically not wanting to hit in the playoffs. That's, Florida runs over people.
You know, he's a good coach. But for 2 years in a row against the Oilers, so here's the theory on it, okay? You guys are the voice of the Cowboys. We talked about this last time. In Edmonton, the Oilers have all the oxygen, okay? But even around Canada, because they've got McDavid and Drysdale, they get a lot of noise. Some might say they get too much attention. Well, in Dallas, there's the Cowboys and everybody else. And the Stars start to get coverage as you go through rounds 2 and 3. And Dallas is one of the best organizations in the NHL, best run organizations in the league. I just sensed at times, I was a little surprised with Pete, given the amount of experience that he had, he seemed a little irritable, and maybe it was because he could see that the series was sliding a bit. You know, they blew the 2-1 lead against Edmonton up 2-0 in game 4 in Edmonton in 2024. And then after game 1 in Dallas, I think there were a lot of people that thought the Stars were going to wallop the Oilers, and the Oilers came back and wrestled the series from them. So I did think, I talked with key people in our organization and wondered, I wonder if they make a coaching change. And if they do, I guarantee you they're going to talk to Glenn Gullison.
Bob Stauffer, Edmonton analyst, joining us here at 105 through the Fan. All right, so you bring up Gully, 7-year assistant with Edmonton. He was here as a coach with the Stars. It wasn't a very good team. He probably wasn't given a fair shake here. But what are they getting?
Well, RJ, for the last 7 years, Edmonton's had the best power play in the league at 26.8%. Now, this year there was a bit of a drop off, but that coincided with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl not playing. One of them was out of every one of the final 14 games of the regular season. So that knocked their power play down. They were like six and it dropped it to 13th. But it has been a record-setting power play. And so he has been a part of that. And I think that, you know, Glenn has gone through Todd McClellan, Ken Hitchcock, Dave Tippett. You guys know a couple of these guys. Jay Woodcroft and now Chris Knobloch. So five different coaches. He has been a great teammate, right? Like, he's a head coach in his own right. He's been a two-time NHL head coach. He was, you know, at no point did he ever sit there and you know, have any attitude towards Chris, who was a rookie NHL head coach. He helped him, and he will, you know, he will be missed on the Oilers staff, and he's a great guy to deal with. I mean, I'm going to date myself, but I was already doing university hockey play-by-play before Glenn played for the University of Saskatchewan.
Wow.
So I've known, you know, known about him for a long time and watched his career trajectory with interest. And you're 100% right. Dallas was at a simply different place now than they were sort of 12 to, if I'm not mistaken, there was significant ownership issues back in about 12, 13 with the Stars. So
they just changed it. Yeah.
Like you, the club you guys are talking about in Dallas, this is a team that a lot of players want to go play for. Like, Dallas is a hot, like, Edmonton's a hot market when it has McDavid and Draisaitl, right? And then they got to do a real good job drafting and developing players because Edmonton ain't Dallas. And so Dallas has got some advantages that some other organizations, just like Florida has, state tax issues and things like that. Lots of guys talk very fondly of, you know, the Dallas experience. And my experience in terms with Gullitson over the last 7 years has been, you know, excellent. I mean, he's just a really good guy to deal with. He's done a great job on special teams, and he was a great team player as a coach because he supported the coaches that he worked with, whether they were really experienced or relatively inexperienced at the NHL. You know, Jay Woodcroft and Chris Knobloch had never been head coaches in the NHL. Todd McClellan, Ken Hitchcock, and Dave Tippett, those guys got 40 years of NHL head coaching experience between the three of them. So it shows you how he can coexist with others. So, you know, look, it's the worst kept secret. Have they made it official yet, the Stars, that he's the coach? Or is it just, yeah, well, it's the worst kept secret going. We know it's going to happen. And you're getting a guy that has already had, you know, has learned from his past mistakes, the ones that he's made. But I also don't think, by the way, I don't think this is the first time Dallas has tried to hire him. I think they tried to hire him a few years ago, maybe not as the head coach of the NHL team, but maybe to come back into the organization and maybe greater clarity can, Jim Neal can bring some greater clarity to that when the announcement in the press conference takes place.
Bob, you know, we were just talking about how, you know, maybe some of the prickly nature to Pete DeBoer got him in trouble here. And you know, some of his handling of just comments about whether it be, you know, their play style or the way he handled the Otter situation and then talked about it afterwards. In terms of those sort of things, the a little abrasive nature and some of those issues with the media, are those kind of things not going to be an issue? You're confident with Glenn Gullitson, or is he somebody who also maybe has a little bit of an edge to him and can handle players that way?
Well, it's funny, right? Like, and maybe it's because I spent 8 years as an SID at a Canadian university. I got a message to anybody that's coaching right now. If you think breaking players down and building them up is the way to coach, you should get out of coaching. Yeah. It's just, you wouldn't let anybody do that to your kids. You'd have a little, you take them for a little walk and have a little conversation if you saw somebody trying to break your kids down and build them up. No, that's not how you get the most out of people. And I'm not saying that's what DeBoer did. I'm just saying that today's athlete's different. The key to success, in my opinion, to dealing with today's athlete is to treat them with respect and dignity from the beginning of the relationship. And when you do that, you engender passion from them, and then they don't want to fail you because you've treated them the right way right from the beginning. And I have 100% complete confidence that Glenn Gullitson would go into Dallas and do that because, frankly, I mean, he's got about as close a relationship as a coach can have with two of the best players in the world, in Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. You know, so, you know, and he spent 7 years with them through five head coaches. So he to me is today's coach in terms. Some might say, well, maybe you got to be a little bit tougher at times, but on a day to day basis, I think you got to make sure that you have a real positive relationship with people to get the most out of them.
Bob, Stars fans who are not in love with this hire are saying there's no way you can argue that Glenn Gullitson is an upgrade or equal to Pete DeBoer on paper. Would you agree with that?
I would say that Pete's had a lot of success in the league. It's hard to saying that if the color guy from Edmonton is recognizing, geez, I wonder if they're going to make a change in the morning of game five based on some comments. They're going to have to. Like, I don't think that Jim Nill want, like, veteran managers don't like firing coaches, okay? And I will also tell you that there's some challenges economically in some markets out there where you don't want to just, you know, have to pay a guy out for a year. So I can understand people. Look, Pete DeBoer is a good coach. He is. But it might have, and I'm not super close to it in Dallas. Daryl Ray might be a better guy to ask on a day-to-day basis. But sometimes it's just time. And conversely, in Gullitson's case, sometimes you just have to give people an opportunity. I bet you he's a hell of a lot better coach now than he was when he was in Dallas before. And he's been a part of a team that, again, has done a lot of winning over the last 4 years, just hasn't won the ultimate prize. Unfortunately for Edmonton, they've lost in the last four playoff years to the team that won the Stanley Cup, which is that's a hard pill, mm-hmm. bitter pill for people to swallow. But he certainly has been a contributor to what's been a pretty good run here in oil country.
Oilers analyst Bob Stauffer joining us here on 105 Through the Fan with Glenn Gullitson being brought in with the Stars or appearing to be brought in. Bob, you know, a lot of the talk heading into the postseason for Dallas was that they were a finesse team. They were kind of a team that needed things to be open. They weren't very physical. How do you look at the Stars under Gullitson in terms of what the identity will be, how the roster construction might look? What do you look at from that angle?
Now, Sean, I think that's interesting, right? Like, I think the game's changed. Like, I grew up playing against a guy named Todd Yu, and he's no longer alive. He's the only guy ever to knock Bob Probert out in a fight in the NHL. And everybody could, like, literally in junior hockey, which I was not good enough to play when there was only 12 teams in the WHL, every kid on those teams would fight. Now, today in hockey, one kid on a junior team. It's just a complete – now, Florida – had a very aggressive, assertive team. And some people thought that they had their way with Edmonton. I think there were some issues that worked to their advantage in great game three when we had a little bit of a dust up. It's still, intimidation's always going to be a part of hockey. There's always going to be a physical nature. You do have a couple players, you know, Bichelle's going to be a force in the league to come in the back end. I think you're going to have to find a way to get at a degree of physicality to your forward groups. Like, it can't just be, you know, Jamie Benn in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
Mid to late 30s now, you know, 36, 37. He's got to have some more. But that's not on the coach. Mm-hmm. That's going to be on, you know, Jim Nill and the team there in Dallas to add.
Bob, before we let you go, is Ed the latest on Edmonton and the McDavid deal? Do you expect anything to happen there? And is Vegas now with the Marner deal maybe the top contender to Edmonton to get him out of the West?
I'd say Dallas is the top competitor to Edmonton. I mean, Vegas is the top competitor in the Pacific Division. I still can't believe Dallas beat Colorado. Like, Dallas didn't have Heiskanen and they didn't have Robertson in that series. I'm stunned the Stars won that series because I thought stylistically Colorado was going to be a tougher matchup. There's lots of good teams in the West. Fair comment about Marner. We'll see. I mean, they're not going to have Petrangelo. I'm going to be interested to see who they add on defense because he's going to be a substantial loss. The Oilers will make probably a couple subtle additions, but they have to get Evan Bouchard re-signed, and I got him done yesterday. That's a piece. He's led defense scoring three straight years in a row in the playoffs, so he was a critical part of their team. McDavid, you know, look for something over the course of the summer. They didn't get Leon Draisaitl extended last year until September 3rd. I think there would be a little bit more of an impetus to try to get something done a little bit earlier. And but there's lots of good teams in the West. So, there's lots of teams that are going to challenge for the conference next year to go out on the Stanley Cup.
Bob, awesome having you on again. Thank you so much, and have fun over the next 6 hours with your free agency show.
Anytime you need a guy to talk about the connection between Daryl K. Royal and Edmonton, let me know.
The great Bob Stauffer, Edmonton Oilers color analyst here on 105.3 The Fan as we wait for the Dallas Stars to make it official here on Sean and RJ. Be careful getting your coffee in Irving, and do you hate opening gifts in front of others? Peyton Russell has your solutions. It's PP in the morning.
Hey.
Next.